Good morning. Today's daf in Erevin is Avdalad. We are on Gimel Amud Beis. We started just a couple of days ago the new Masech, Maseches Erevin, and we discussed dimensions. We talked about a Mavui, and tomorrow's daf we're going to go much more into detail regarding the Mavui itself, but today we're going to take a break from discussing the Mavui, discussing Erevin, and we're going to be discussing in general the idea of linear dimensions. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the measurements. And linear measurements. The Gemara yesterday mentioned that when it comes to an Amma, so how do you measure an Amma? So typically an Amma is measured with six Tfachim. So as far as measurements go, we all know this, the Amma is somewhere between a foot and a half to 2 feet. Now the Amma itself is going to be measured from the bend of the elbow until the tip of the middle finger. So if you basically take a look at where you're standing right now in terms of the distance, it's somewhere in that range. Obviously, when giving such a measurement, so everyone's going to be different. We're probably looking at an average, but regardless, that is an amma. What is a tefach? Tefach is going to be about approximately a fist, which is the width of the fist, which is somewhere between 3 to 4 inches. So, so with those are the typically the generally accepted measurements. In the meantime, however, regarding our Gemara, the Gemara says that there is somewhat of a debate in terms of how to measure an Amma. You're either going to measure an Amma using five Tfachim or six Tfachim. This was a proposal that was made by Abaye. Abaye, yesterday's Gemara, it says in the name of Rav Nachman that when measuring an Amma, so it's going to be a range anywhere between five to six Tfachim. Well, that's not a way to measure linear measurement. Which one is it? Is it five Tfachim or is it six Tfachim? So it's not clear the way Rav Nachman presents it. It's not clear the way Abaye presents it. But presumably, and again, this is not exactly the way the Gemara says it, but presumably, it's there's a range. And basically, whenever we're taking into account a halacha, so we always want to play on the side of caution. And so therefore, we're going to be more machmir. Okay, again, the Gemara is not saying it exactly the way I'm presenting it right now, but that seems to be the most reasonable way to present the Gemara, is that there exists somewhat of a range, and we're always going to be more machmir. So that means to say is as follows. Let's take a look at our Mishnah and our discussion. So we talk about the height of a korah, which is going to be at the edge of the mavui. So how high can it be, meaning what is the maximum allowable height? So it's going to be 20 amas. Now, when measuring 20 amas, so which amma are we going to be using, the 5 tefach amma or the 6 tefach amma? And this is going to be now a question of being machmir, meaning if we're talking about the maximum height, so if we were talking about six tefach amma, so that'd be 6 times 20, that'd be 120, 120 tefachim. If we're talking about a 5 tefach amma, so that's 5 times 20, that's 100 tefach, 100 tefach height. So which one are we going to go with? So if we're erring on the side of caution, so we're going to say that it's going to be the smaller amount because a smaller number is going to present more of a chumrah. Okay, this is what we discussed yesterday. And we discussed this not only in terms of a mavui, in terms of its height. We also talked about it in terms of its width. We talked about a sukkah in terms of its height as well. So these are the topics of discussion that we had yesterday. Now, in both of those, when it comes to sukkah and when it comes to a mavui, so we're going to be operating with a amma of five tefachim because that's going to present more of a chumrah. The Gemara noted yesterday that there are measurements both by the mavui and by the sukkah where it actually comes out to be a kula. But anyway, we're going to be dealing with the majority of times it's a chumrah. And now we're going to be talking about the halachas of kalim. The halachas of kalim demand that when planting a vineyard, so you cannot plant seeds in the same patch as a vineyard. When I say seeds, I mean, I'm sorry, other seeds in the same patch as a vineyard. So this is the basic halachas regarding kalayim. There's an entire masechta dedicated to this topic. It is a very large topic. But meanwhile, we're going to be focusing on one particular aspect, and that's going to be the linear measurement. So now we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday, and that is the following. Lamai hilchasa, I'm sorry, amas kalayim ba'amas bashisha lamai hilchasa. So it is about two-thirds of the way down on Gimel Amud Beis, and it is just four lines before the lines become wide. So when dealing with the amma of kalayim, here we're going to use six tefachim. Now, the reason why we're going to use six tefachim is, again, because, generally speaking, we're going to err on the side of caution, and therefore we're going to be machmir. What is the chumrah as it relates to kalayim? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So we're talking about two halachas, funny ways to describe them, the bald vineyard and the circular vineyard. Obviously, there's much to explain over here. But to say it very succinctly, we learned in the Mishnah, Karachas Kerem, when talking about the the baldness of a field. Bechama armim esrim va'arba amos beitzela armim sheish esrei amos. So we are discussing over here the following, and that is that when I have a vineyard and I have another vineyard, and the two vineyards are basically facing one another, and there's area in between these two vineyards, how much is acceptable, allowable area in between that I can plant another patch of another seed inside, in between these two vineyards? So according to Beit Shammai, the number is going to be 24, and according to Beit Hillel, the number is going to be 16. How do we arrive at the number 24 and 16? Rashi goes through it. I'm going to go through it very quickly over here. We're not going to go through Rashi inside, but basically, when I have a vineyard, so I need an amount of work area around the vineyard. The work area around the vineyard is going to be 4 amos. Rashi describes it's basically the plow, it's the animals that I need to go around the vineyard. Anyway, 4 amos for working distance, and that's an absolute number. There's nothing to discuss regarding the 4 amos. So that's 4 amos for one vineyard, 4 amos for another vineyard. Now, in terms of the area in between the field in between, so now if I'm going to be planting another seed in between the two vineyards, so there has to be room enough where I'm going to be planting another field, and at the same time it doesn't encroach upon the vineyard. Now, when I say encroach, I mean, obviously, we're talking about in addition to the 4 amas of workspace, there also has to be a certain amount of space needed for the center field. How much is that space going to be? According to Beit Shammai, it's going to be 16 amas, and according to Beit Hillel, it's going to be 8 amas. And Rashi goes on to explain that according to Beit Shammai, it's 16 amas because each patch in of itself is going to be 8 amas, but I can't look at each patch as one entity. I have to look at each patch relative to the vineyard that's next to it. And that's why according to Beit Shammai, it has to be a total of 16 amos. And according to Beit Hillel, who allows for a patch to be made up of just 8 amos, each patch individually 4 amos, but contiguous to one another, a total of 8 amos. And so therefore, according to Beit Hillel, it comes out to a total of 16. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, the total area, aside from the vineyards, is going to be 24 amos. Okay, now again over here, that's the basic idea of the bald field. Now again over here, what is being described and discussed is the idea that which linear measurement are we going to work with. If we're erring on the side of caution, that would mean I want more space between the fields. If I want more space between the fields, so the amma that we're going to be using is a 6 tefach amma. Now mechol akerem, now here we're going to be discussing quote-unquote the circular field, but here it is now a vineyard that is up against a wall. So here the numbers are going to be 16 and 12. Once again, if we're taking a look now at a vineyard that is up against the wall, but it's not directly against the wall, how much room can exist between the vineyard and the actual wall itself that will allow me to plant another patch of another seed in between the vineyard and the wall? So here Beit Shammai says it's going to be a total 16, whereas Beit Hillel says it's going to be 12. The numbers are reduced over here because according to Beit Shammai, we're going to have now the same 4 amma working area around the vineyard. Plus, we're going to have now, remember, according to Beit Shammai, the only allowable field patch that could be used is an 8 amma patch. So that's 4 plus another 8. And then there's something called a buttress to the wall itself. The buttress to the wall itself, basically, I need ground, I need land that is there to help support the actual wall, and that's going to be another 4 ammas. So it's 4 plus 8 plus 4, that it gets us to a total of 16. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, the only number that's subject to change is going to be the field itself, which is going to be 4 ammas. So it's 4 plus 4 plus 4, so it's going to be a total of 12. Anyway, again, the whole point over here is the idea that because we're erring on the side of caution, we're going to use a larger amma of 6 tefachim. Continuing now in the Gemara. Ezi karachas hakerem, I'm sorry, we did that already. So kerem she, I'm sorry. Sorry, the Mishnah spells it out just a little bit. So, Ezu Karachas HaKerem, second wide line down. Kerem Shecharv Emsi Asav, Ein Sham Sheish Yisrei Amma, Lo Yavi Zer L'Sham Hayusham Sheish Yisrei Amma, No Sein Lo Kedei Avodaso Vazorea Es Hamutar. Ve'ezu Mechol HaKerem, Bein Kerem Legeder, Ein Sham Shtei Mesrei Amma, Lo Yavi Zer L'Sham Hayusham Shtei Mesrei Amma, No Sein Lo Kedei Avodaso Vazorea Es Hashar. Fine, and the Mishnah basically goes through what we went through. We went through it in a little more detail, but basically the Mishnah now cuts out that according to Beis Hillel, the numbers are going to be 16 if I'm planting between two vineyards, and the number is going to be 12 if I'm planting up against a wall. Anyway, so what we have over here is the measurement of an amma as it relates to the Isser of Kalayim, and it must be working with the larger amma measurements because we want to have more space. We want to err on the side of caution. The Gemara continues, Va'ika, Ritzufim the arba amos de lakula dinan. So the Gemara says, yes, but there is a halacha regarding klayim, where here, if I'm going to be erring on the side of caution, I'm not going to be using the larger amma of six tfachim, but I should be using the smaller one, and that is the halacha of Ritzufim. What is the halacha of Ritzufim? So we quote a Mishnah, Dinan Kerem, Hanotea apachos me'arba amos. So if I have a vineyard where it's less than four amos, so when I have a vineyard that's less than four amos, how do we look at that? How do we view that? We view that as basically not a vineyard, but vines. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a big difference between the two, but we're going to see together what the halachic implications are. Rabbi Shimon Omer Einu Kerem, so according to Rabbi Shimon, it's simply not a vineyard. Now, again, obviously they're vines, but it's not a vineyard. V'chachamam Omrim Kerem. And the Chachamim say that it is, in fact, a vineyard. Verona Saim Ke'ilu Einam. And we look at the middle area as if they don't exist. What is going on over here? What is this mission describing? It's basically describing the following. If I have vines that are planted in an area, now, if it's a vineyard, so like we just discussed in the previous Mishnah, so in order to plant other seeds, there must be separation. How much separation must there be? So like we already discussed, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. But over here, what if I'm not planting a vineyard? What if I'm just planting vines? The halacha is that I do not need the kind of separation that we described in the previous Mishnah. Now, what's the difference between vine and vineyards? So the difference between them is going to be whether or not they are in a controlled environment. Controlled environment means that I plant the vines, the vineyard, in an area. I have the working area around it. And so since it is now in a controlled environment, it's organized. So that qualifies now as a kerem, that's a vineyard. And that requires the kind of distancing that we described in the previous Mishnah. If, however, it is not vineyards, it's just vines planted, so then I do not need the kind of distancing that we described in the previous Mishnah. Now, what if I have vine planted next to vine? The rows are planted next together. Near one another, but not with the requisite four amma space that we described in the previous Mishnah, where I have a working area that's around it. So basically, it's unorganized. So we had a machlokus that we just saw together in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says it's simply not a vineyard, meaning without the organization, without the pattern that we described, it's simply not a vineyard. And now it's just simply a collection of vines. And now I don't need the kind of distancing that we described in the previous Mishnah. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no. The Chachamim say that if the area in between these two are less than four amas, I just simply view the area in between as if they don't exist. And so therefore, we don't view it as just simply vines, but we view the entire area as a vineyard. So if this is in fact so now what we have over here is a halacha where linear measurement is going to serve as a leniency, meaning that if I have an area between the vineyards that are less than four amos, so now it no longer, according to Rabbi Shimon, qualifies as a vineyard. And so therefore, the measurement that we want to use over here in order to err on the side of caution is not going to be the larger 6 tefach amma, but rather should be the smaller 5 tefach amma. And this obviously now presents a problem because we assumed that every single time we're talking about an amma as it relates to kalayim, it has to be the larger, not the smaller. So the first the Gemara says, Karabaran da'amri have a karen. So the first answer of the Gemara is, well, first, you don't know that we're passing like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe we're passing like the Chachamim, and the question never gets off the ground because they view it simply as a vineyard. V'ibay Samuel Olam Rabbi Shimon v'rov amos kamar. Or we could be going like Rabbi Shimon, and when we say that the linear measurement of a vineyard as it relates to klayim is going to be the larger one, we don't mean every single time. We simply mean most of the time. Okay, continuing now in the Gemara, we are towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, continuing in our discussion of linear measurement of Rav Mishmei to Rav Nachman. So previously, up until now, we've been quoting Abai in the name of Rav Nachman, who said that when it comes to the Amma, there are going to be two versions of the Amma, one 5 tefach and the other 6 tefach, and which one are we going to use? Whichever one is going to be more stringent. Okay, and we're going to be erring on the side of caution. Now we're going to be basically going over the same information, but the starting point is going to be slightly different, and we're going to be quoting in the name of Rav. Rav says in the name of Rav Nachman, Kol Amos Ba'ama Bashisha, Ela Halalu Shochakos V'Halalu Atzevos. Every Amma is going to be made up of 6 Tfachim. Rav, quoting in the name of Rav Nachman, says that it is not going to be a function of... it is not going to be a function of 5 versus 6 tefachim, but rather it's going to be always 6 tefachim, although there is going to be a subtle discrepancy, and that is that there's a 6 tefach measurement where the tefachim are going to be measured a little more firmly, a little more packed, meaning that when you make a fist to make a tefach, you're going to put your fingers together, clench them together. That's the atsevos, as opposed to the other ama, which is going to be more shochakos. They're going to be wider. You're not going to be clenching your fist. The fingers are going to have slight separation, and it's going to create an ama that's just a little bit larger. This is the Gemara, this is the way Rav is presenting the two versions of the ama, shochakos versus atsevos. It makes a kol ama shamru chachamim ba'ama bashisha. So the Gemara says, okay, but consider the following Braisa. The Braisa says that every Amma that is measured by the Chachamim is going to be six Tfachim. The only proviso is that they should not be Mechuvan. What does that mean? Well, the Gemara is going to explain. That means to say that they're not always going to be of the same kind of tefach. Basically what we just said, meaning that a clenched fist versus an open fist. So Bisham la Rava Kihecha de la Havan Halal Shokakas Valal Sava. So according to Rava, it works out very good. Meaning we're always going to be using six tefachim to measure the Amma. It's just a question of whether or not we're going to be using a clenched fist or the fingers are going to be slightly separated. Elala Abaye Kasha, but according to Abaye, it is going to be difficult. Amalakha Abaye. So Abaye will say to you, Ema Amas Kalayim Ba'ama Bashisha. So Abaye says, okay, the way I'm going to read the Braisa is that when it comes to the Amma of Kalayim, we're going to be talking about the Amma Bashisha. That's what the Braisa meant. It just was referring to the Amma of the Kalayim, because the Amma of the Sukkah, the Amma of the Mavui, is going to be five Tfachim. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, that's a difficult read of the Braisa. Why? V'hamidik tani sefer, because let's read the end of the Braisa. Rishimun ben Gamlil omer kol amma sh'amru chachamim b'kalayim ba'amma v'ashisha v'avash lo yu mitzum tzamos. Then the Braisa brings in the position of Rishimun Gamlil that says that when it comes to the amma of the kalayim, we're going to be using the amma of six tfachim, and they should not be exactly precise, meaning make them a little bit wider. Michlal d'tana kamar kol amas kamar. Now, if I contrast Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel to the Tanakhama, that means to say that it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says that the Amma of Kalayim is going to be six and the Amma of the other measurements are going to be five Tvachim. But that means, in contrast, that according to the Tanakhama, all Amos are going to be measured with using six. And again, this is going to be very difficult for Abaye. Amalach Abaye, Abaye would answer, V'lav mi'ik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel t'kai kavasi anadamri k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So Abaye says, okay, look, it's a machlokas tanaim, I'll give you that. At least I have a tana that goes like my position, meaning I am within the viewpoint of Rav Shimon Gamliel. La Abai vade tanaihi la Rava mi lema tanaihi. Now, according to Abai, certainly it's a machlokas tanaim, as we just established. Are we going to say the same thing according to Rava? So am lecha Rava, Rava says not necessarily. Rav Shimon Gamliel ha asal hashmonun amas kalayim lo yitzamtzim. No, it could be that Rav Shimon Gamliel is just simply explaining. Meaning, here's how you would read the Braisa if you were Rava. Tanakhama says every Amma is going to be measured using six Tfachim. Good. And Rav Shimon Gamliel now is not coming to argue with the Tanakhama. He's coming to explain the Tanakhama. And what the Tanakhama means is that when you're measuring Kalayim, and again, you want more distancing to err on the side of caution, so you're going to be using the wider measurement. What is the wider measurement? Using the six Tefach, but again, not having the fists tightly packed, the fingers clenched one against the other, but rather they're going to be slightly separated. That's because we need more distancing when it comes to Kalayim, and that's what the Tanakhama meant, meaning that the Tanakhama is always going to be using six. I just want to explain the difference between sometimes a little wider, sometimes a little narrower. Okay, and now it comes out that the Braisa reads beautifully according to Rava, and both positions are working within the sheet of Rava. V'leima amas Kalayim lo yitzamtzim ba'ama bashisha. If this is in fact the right way to read the Braisa, what the Braisa should have said is Amas Kalayim lo yim samsem, meaning just focus on the Amma of Kalayim. Meaning if you go back and read Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says Kol Amr Shamru Chachamim B'Kalayim. That seems to be much more expansive than the way we're reading it now. The way we're trying to read it right now is that he's just simply explaining the Tanakhama. Be'ama v'ashisha l'mu'ute mai, lav l'mu'ute amas tukav amas mavui. So by virtue of the fact that he's talking about amma bashisha, what is he coming to exclude? Presumably what he's coming to exclude is the amma of the sukkah and the amma of the mavui, where I'm not using a six tefach amma, but I'm using a five tefach amma. Isn't that the way to read Rishim and Gamliel? The Gemara says, lo, l'mu'ute amas yisod v'amas sovet. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Meaning, we're still going to maintain our pshat in defense of Rava, that really Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to support the Tanakhama, in that every Amma that you're going to be used is made up of six Tfachim. And when Rav Shimon Gamliel made the statement that when I'm using the Amma of Kalayim, which sounds like he's coming to exclude some other area, it's not Sukkah, and it's not mavui, what is it coming to exclude? The amma that's used to measure the mizbeach. Specifically, parts of the mizbeach, the yisod and the soved, dichsiv. And what we're going to see now is that the way we're reading the brisa is that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that when it comes to amos in general, they're always going to be six tefachim. Again, with subtle discrepancy between their shochakos or whether they are tsevos, but it's always going to be six. And the notable exception that he was alluding to was going to be towards the mizbeach. We're there. It's going to be a combination of a six tefach amma and a five tefach amma. It's just a question of which part of the mizbeach we are describing. Now, over here, we're going to be quoting a pasuk from Sefer Yecheskel, describing the Beis HaMikdash, and basically, based on the reading of the pasuk, we're going to note that not every amma used to measure the mizbeach is going to be made up of six tefachim. Let's see the pasuk inside. The pasuk says, "Ve'ela midos ha-mizbeach ba'amos, amma, amma v'tefach." So when describing the mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash, so the amma, which is amma v'tefach. Now that's a really unusual way to describe an amma v'tefach. But basically, what it's alluding to is the idea that if I take an amma and instead of breaking it up into six, I break it up into five. So that is going to be that's going to be smaller than your standard amma. Meaning your standard amma is made up of six tefachim. This smaller amma is going to be made up of five tefachim. How is the pasuk describing it? It's calling it an amma v'tefach, meaning if I have an amma and I add a tefach to it, then I'm going to get to the standard amma. Okay, if that was clear. And so that means to say that he's describing these smaller ammas. And v'cheka amma v'amma rachav u'gvula asfasa saviv zeres ha'echad v'ze gav ha'mizbech. Okay, and that's the pasuk in Yecheskel. Now, which parts of the mizbech are we describing? The Gemara now tries to clarify. Cheka amma is the yisod. So when talking about the cheka amma, that's the yisod, that's the base of the mizbech. And in Midos, we did this in great detail. And over here, we're not going to be doing this in great detail. But basically, when taking a look at the mizbech, there are basically three boxes built one on top of the other. Each box, as it goes up, gets a little bit narrower. The base is called the yisod. The next one is called the soviv. And then after that is the top box of the mizbech. As far as Yisod is concerned, it goes up an amma, goes in an amma. As far as the Soveva goes, it goes up five ammas, it goes in an amma. As far as the next part of the Mizbeach is concerned, the top of the Mizbeach, it goes up three and it goes in, it does not go in one. It goes up three, and then on top of that, you have the Kronos HaMizbeach, the horns of the Mizbeach, four on each of the corners, going up an amma, going in an amma. Okay, in terms of height, if you've been keeping score, so it's 1 plus 5 plus 3 plus the 1 of the Karen. That gets you to a total of 10. The Karen, no one's standing on the Karen, so really you're standing 9 amos above ground. Anyway, which of these measurements now are going to be using not the 6 tefach amma, but rather the 5 tefach amma? And here it is an extraordinarily lengthy discussion, and we're not going to engage in it. But in the meantime, however, certain parts of the Mizbeach, instead of using the 6 tefach amma, are used the 5 tefach amma. You could see Rashi over here on the side. You could see a Haggah, an amendment that was made within Rashi, perhaps by one of his Talmidim. On the side, there's a lengthy discussion in terms of which ones are going to be used for the, which of the Ammas are going to be a 5 Tefach Amma. Suffice to say right now, it's not all of them. It's just some of them. And it's not perfectly clear from the Gemara, and that's why it causes a lot of discussion amongst the Rishonim in terms of which gets 5 and which gets 6. In the meantime, however, did I finish reading the Gemara? Chek Amma Zeh Yesod Amma Rechav Zeh Soviv Ugvulas Vasa Soviv Eila HaKronos Vizeh Gav HaMizbech Vizeh Mizbech. I'm sorry. HaKronos Vizeh Gav HaMizbech Zeh Mizbech HaZahav. Okay, and we just darshan the Pesukim and we just note which of the parts of the Mizbech are going to be using the 5 Tefach as opposed to the 6 Tefach. I encourage you, try to go through Rashi. I try to. With some success, and the Haggah, and Tosfos over here also has a short discussion as well, and see which parts of the Mizbeach are going to be using the 5 as opposed to the 6. In terms of what we walk away with from the Gemara, so just know now that all this was in defense of Rava, because Rava said that when measuring the Amma, it's always going to be 6 Tefachim, and the Braisa is supportive of Rava, certainly the Tanakama, and even Rav Shimon Gamliel is supportive of Rava, because Rav Shimon Gamliel was just simply meant that when dealing with an Amma, it's always going to be 6. He did say Amma Shel Kalayim. He meant only to exclude the Mizbeach, because when dealing with the Mizbeach, it's going to be there and only there that the Amma is sometimes going to be made up of a 5 Tefach Amma. But outside of that, it's always going to be within 6 Tefachim. And even within the sheet of Rava, which we just concluded, so there still is going to be slight range, meaning in Abaye the range is great. The range of an Am is somewhere between 6 to 5 Tfachim. According to Rava, the range is going to be anywhere in 6 Tfachim, but in measuring it, the Tefach, either firmly or loosely, and that is going to give you a slight range within the measurement of an Amma. We are continuing in the Gemara. We're in Dalet Amud Aleph, and now we're going to be taking a break from Erevin for the remainder of today's daf, and we are going to be discussing Shiurim in general, and not only Shiurim in general, but Chatzitza and Mechitzin, and we get to see a Gemara that we are going to see again in Masechta Sukkah, almost word for word verbatim. Let us go through it. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Am Rav Shiurim, Chatzitza and Mechitzin Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. Whenever dealing with a shiur, or the halachas regarding chatzitza, which we're going to explain better in just a moment, and also whenever dealing with a mechitza, these are all halacha Moshe Mesinai, which means to say that they are not, you're not going to find psukim in the Torah that are going to describe a shiur, a requisite amount, nor are you going to find a pasuk in the Torah that describes chatzitza, nor are you going to be finding a pasuk in the Torah that describes a mechitza. These are all part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh. They're all halachas that are min ha-Torah. It's just halach l'moshe misina, which means that there is no pasuk that is going to speak to this or going to be a source for this. The Rambam, in his introduction to the Torah Shabbat Peh, so he writes that there are basically five parts of Torah Shabbat Peh. The first part of the Torah Shabbat Peh he describes as the Perushim HaMekubalim, meaning that these are the accepted interpretations of the psukim. For example, when the Torah says that on Sukkot you're going to take Pri Eitz Hadar, what does that mean, Pri Eitz Hadar? So we have an accepted perush that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, which is that it's a description of the Esrog. Good. That's one. The second category of Torah Shabbat Peh, says the Rambam, is going to be what we're describing right now, Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, which means to say that when Moshe received the Torah, there are parts of the Torah which are not sourced in the Torah itself, but simply are part of the tradition. This is what's called Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. And now our Gemara here is giving us three examples that fit in this category of Halacha Moshe Mesinai when it comes to Shiurim, Chatzitzin, and Mechitza. These are all Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Rambam also, by the way, has a very interesting position as it relates to Halacha Moshe Mesinai. He says that you're not going to find a debate in the Gemara that revolves around Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Now, that in of itself is a really interesting position. It is slightly difficult to defend that position. We do find in the Gemara at times that there is debates around Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Anyway, that is a viewpoint of the Rambam. And then, by the way, as long as we're here, just simply to go through the other three, the next category of Torah Shabbat Peh is any halacha that's learned out through the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Dreshes Bahem, right? Rabbi Shmuel in his introduction to the Sifra, which we say in the morning right before Pesukim de Zimra, so has 13 different ways in which we extract halacha from Pesukim in the Torah. Not all 13, by the way, are from Pesukim in the Torah, meaning Kal V'Chomer. Yeah, you could say it's from a pasuk in the Torah, but anyway. And these Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Dreshes Bahem is the third way in which halacha is generated through Torah Shabbat Peh. And then numbers 4 and 5 are going to be the derabbanans. Number 4 are going to be the gzeras that were made by the chachamim. Number 5 are going to be the takanas, the institutions that were made by the chachamim. Okay. Anyway, we are back to our gemara. So of the three examples that are given here in terms of halacha Moshe Mesinai, Shiur and Chatzitza Mechitza. Now, there are many other Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Why these three are particularly grouped together, it's not perfectly clear why these are grouped together. But anyway, so these are examples of Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And Shiurin are, now the Gemara is going to be asking the question, and that is, that to say that they're Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that means to say that there is no source for this whatsoever in the Chumash. And the Gemara now is going to know that doesn't seem to be the case. So we're going to start now with Shiurim. Shiurim Daraisa Hu Dechsev. The Gemara says, what are you talking about when it comes to Shiurim? That is a Din Daraisa. Now, when the Gemara said Halacha Moshe Mesinai, it was also a Din Daraisa. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that we do find it in the Psukim, and so why are you suggesting that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai with no source in the Torah? There is a source in the Torah. Dechsev, we said in last week's Parsha, Parsha's Ekev, Eretz Chita Saora. So the Torah giving the praise of Eretz Yisrael going over the Shiva Saminim. And the Amar Rav Chanan kol pasuk ze lishiurim ne'amar. This pasuk is said regarding shiurim, meaning if we're going to be looking at the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, we're going to find that each one of them is going to represent a shiur. For example, well, not for example, we're going to go through all seven. Here's number one, chita. We're going to start off with wheat, lechadetnan. So that's based on the Mishnah. A person goes into a house that has saras, meaning it is a base hamanuga, the house itself has saras. Now, when you walk into the house, you become tame just by simply entrance into the house. It operates just like tumas oel hames. And over here, there's a halacha, which is not that popular. We don't see it that often in the Gemara. But meanwhile, there's a halacha that is that if you go into the house and you are wearing clothing, the clothing does not become tame immediately. There is a delay in terms of your clothing become tame. If, however, you're carrying the clothing, you're not wearing the clothing, so then the clothing becomes tame immediately. Okay, and I know this is it sounds like a strange halacha, but meanwhile, it is a halacha, and the Gemara is going to connect it back to wheat. I know that's a strange connection, but you'll see the connection in just a moment. So if you go into the base of Manuga, the Kelev Aktefav, and the clothing is on your shoulder, Visandalav, Vitabasav, Biyadav, and you are carrying your shoes, and you're carrying your rings, meaning you're not wearing it, Huvahim Tamei Miyad, they become Tamei immediately, you become Tamei immediately. Hayalavush Kelev, Visandalav, Biraglav, Vitabasav, Betzbasav. Now, if you're wearing your clothing, and you're wearing your shoes, and you're wearing your rings, so Hu Tamei Miyad, Vahim Tarin, Ad Shiyisha Bechdei Achilas Pras Paschitim Velo Pasorim Mesav Ocha Beliftan. So you're going to become tummy immediately, but the clothing are going to be on a tuma delay. And specifically, how long of a delay is that going to be? The amount of time that it takes for you to eat a half a portion of bread, specifically bread that's made out of wheat. Rashi describes it here on the bottom, is that it does not take as long as it would to get through barley bread. Maybe it tastes better, maybe it's just more easily digestible, whatever the case is. So it is bread specifically made out of wheat, and bread that is eaten together with a condiment. And Rashi notes over here that if you're eating with a condiment, it's going to be consumed faster. Anyway, what comes out over here is that we are measuring time in relationship to how long it takes to eat a loaf of wheat bread. So that's the shear as it relates to wheat. And now we just continue as we're going to go through each one of the Shivas Aminim. We're up to barley Seorah. We are discussing the Halacha of Shirim as it relates to barley Danan. We are towards the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom. Etzim Kisorah Mitamet Memago Vamasa Ve'ina Mitamet Ba'Oel. So the Halacha is that if you have a bone chip from human remains, it is going to be Mitame through both contact and also through carrying, not through Tumas Ohel. Rashi reminds us over here that when it comes to Tumas Ohel, either what you need, first of all, you need Basar Mace, you need either remains of the flesh, or, says Rashi, you need a lot of bones. How many bones do you need in order to give off Tumas Ohel? So you need the entire skull, or the vertebrae, or you need the majority of the bone structure of a human, which would be 125 bones. Their assumption back in the day is that there were a total of 248 bones. And so therefore the majority would be 125. There is another way to get to Tumas Ohel, which Rashi also mentions as well, and that is to get the majority of the skeletal height of a person. All right, you get the femur together with maybe a couple of other bones, and that will get you to the majority of the height. Anyway, okay, that's a lot of details, but the point is, however, is that when it comes to a bone chip, which is only going to give off tumas maga and masa, so as long as the bone chip is the size of a pearl of barley, so then it's going to give off maga or masa. Next, we are up to Geffen. Geffen kadei revius yayin lenazir. As far as Geffen is concerned, so that is the shear of a revius as it relates to a nazir, meaning if a nazir were to drink wine, so he'd be subject to malchus if he had a revius of it. How are we measuring that in relationship to grapes? So Rashi over here is not that detailed. Meanwhile, you could take a look at Rashi and Sukkah, where Rashi and Sukkah gives a much more detailed explanation as it relates to how we get to a revius specifically from wine as opposed to water. Okay. We're just simply not going to go through it right now. Anyway, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Te'ena. Now, as far as the fig is concerned, Kigrogris Losel Shabbos. So that takes us back to the good old days where we were learning Masechta Shabbos just a couple months ago. I mean, we were learning Shabbos all of last week, but in terms of the Malacha of Hotza'ah, which was discussed in detail in the 9th, 10th, and 11th Perakim of Shabbos, so there we discussed how much food one has to take out on Shabbos in order to be Chayiv, and there the shear for food is going to be the Grogris, the amount of volume that is the same as a dried fig. Rimon, now we're up to a pomegranate, so that's the Mishnah in Kalim, Kol Kli, Balei Batim, Shiurim, Kerimonim. that when it comes to a kli, when is it no longer subject to tumah? When it is out of utility. I can't use it anymore. When does a kli become no longer serviceable and no longer of utilization? When there's a gaping hole in the kli. Now, when it comes to the Baal HaBayis, that means not a professional, but the homeowner. When it comes to a Baal HaBayis, the gaping hole has to be the size of a pomegranate. Meaning, if the hole's smaller than a pomegranate, so then we're going to still make do with it. Meaning, we are encouraged to be frugal. We are certainly encouraged not to throw anything out. And so, therefore, if I have a kli that has a hole in it, but I could still use the kli to hold pomegranates in it, so under those circumstances, the kli is considered still to have utility, and therefore it is mekabel tumah. It's still susceptible to tumah. As opposed to the kli uman, Rashi says over here, where he's looking to sell the kli, and obviously if he's looking to sell the kli, so any hole in the kli is really going to make it for him a non-sellable item, and so therefore he's ready to discard it at that point in time. But for the Baal HaBayis, the hole's got to be a large hole, a significantly large hole, and that is the size of a pomegranate. Continuing now, in the Gemara, we are up, we just finished with the Rimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen, Eretz Shekol Shira Kezesim. Now when dealing with the Zeit Shemen, so that means to say that a land where every shear is going to be the size of a kezias. Now, Kol Shira Sagadach, now it can't be every shear, by Gehani Damaran. We just went through a number of other halachas where the shear is not a kezias. So Ela Ema Eretz Shirov Shi'ureha Kezesim. So the Gemara says, correct, it is a very good point. We just simply mean to say that the majority of the shiurim are that of a kezias. Devashke kosefes agasli amikiporim. And finishing up over here, when describing honey, honey in the Torah is devash tamarim. It's talking about a date. And so over here, we're really describing a date. And that means to say that if a person were to eat the volume of a date on Yom Kippur, no longer being in a state of inui, the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is v'inisem es nafshor sechem. We have to be in a state of afflicting ourselves. Once we eat a date's volume worth of food on Yom Kippur, we are no longer in a state of inui, violating the iser of achila on Yom Kippur. So, what we just find over here is the following. This is the end of a long question. The Gemara says that shiurim are halach l'moshe misinai. The Gemara is bothered by the fact of, how could you say it's halach l'moshe misinai when we just went through seven different halachas of shiurim that are all based on the pasuk in last week's parsha and parsha Tzekev that describes shiurim as it relates to each one of the shivas aminim. They are psukim in the Torah. You can't call that halacha moshe misinai. So the Gemara says v'tizbra shiurim michtav ksive elahilchus anin v'asmichu rabbanan krai. The Gemara says no, you actually can call it halacha moshe misinai. Meaning we are not reading the psukim in context. We're reading the psukim out of context. In context, it's just simply a description of how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is and the shivas minim of Eretz Yisrael. Out of context, we are now taking these psukim and saying, hey, this relates to that halacha shir and that halacha shir. In other words, that's not the source of the halacha. The source of the halacha is halacha moshe misinai. What the chachamim did is they just simply connected the halacha moshe misinai to psukim. They do that all the time. That's asmechin rabbanan akrai, where the chachamim take a halacha. Now, sometimes they do it with a halacha d'oraisa, like we're describing right now. In other words, halacha moshe misinai is d'oraisa. Sometimes they do it with d'rabbanans, but in other words, they connect things to psukim in the Torah. So that's all that's happening over here. This is not the source. This is just simply an asmachta. Chatzitzin, well, now we're up to the halachas regarding chatzitzin. And the general idea is that a chatzitza is that when you go into a mikvah, there could be nothing separating the water from making contact with every part of your body. Or not just your body, by the way, but if you're toveling a kli in a mikvah, same halacha, there cannot be a chatzitza. So the Araisa Ninu, now the Gemara says, now what you described, it was described earlier in the daf as halacha moshe misinai. How could it be described as halacha moshe misinai when meanwhile it is a din d'araisa tichsiv, rachas, it's called besaro, shalei yidav rechos is bein besaro lamayim. So the Torah says that you have to wash your entire body, and there cannot be anything separating your body from the water, b'mayim, and we're darshing the word b'mayim, b'mei mikvah. You have to go into a collected body of pool water. Furthermore, kol b'saro mayim shekol gufo ola behen. Your entire body has to go in at one time. V'kamahen, how much is that? Meaning, what is the measurement of this body of water where your entire body goes in at one time? Ama al ama berom gimel amos. So it's going to be measured in terms of linear measurement. We're going to give now a cubic measurement of 1 by 1 by 3. 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas. Comes out over here that the assumption is that when you're going to go into such a pool made up of this minimum amount of 1 by 1 by 3, it's going to cover your entire body. Now, what does that say regarding the height of a person? actually, believe it or not, subject to a debate in terms of what exactly is the height of a person. Now, how could that be a debate? Meaning that's an empirical fact. But as it relates to an amma, so you could argue that an amma, the average height of a person is going to be 3 ammas. Because the Gemara, look what just happened in the Gemara. The Gemara says that in order for a mikvah to be kosher, you have to go into the entire mikvah at one time. And we are now giving a measurement of the smallest mikvah where your entire body can go in. And the height of this is going to be 3 ammas, which means to say that a person is, his height from head to toe is going to be 3 ammas. And again, obviously we're talking about averages. Obviously there are outliers, but in terms of an average person is going to be 3 ammas from head to toe. That's one way to look at the Gemara, and so therefore you could say the 3 ammas, the average height of a person is 3 ammas. And again, based on what we think an amma is, right, it's in anywhere in the range of 4.5 to 6 feet tall. Okay, right. That's one way to say it. However, there are many Rishonim who say that the average height of a person from head to toe is more than 3 ammas. In fact, the 3 amma measurement that we're looking at right now is from your toes, from your feet, up to your shoulders, but does not include your head. Now, how can that be? Meaning, then what happens when you go into the mikvah? Well, two things happen when you go into the mikvah. Number one, you don't have to be standing straight. You can be bent over a little bit. And number two, we have something called displacement, eureka. Meaning to say that when you're going into the mikvah, so that water now is going to be elevated, so your head is going to get submerged. So it could be that the 3 ammas over here is going from your feet up to your shoulders. So, interestingly enough, there is a debate amongst Rishonim, what is considered the average height of a person. Is the 3 ammas that we're describing right now from your feet up to your head, or is it from your feet up to your shoulders? Anyway, continuing in the Gemara, Vishyor Chachamim Mei Mikvah Memsa. Now, to give it a measurement of volume, so we just took the linear measurement of 1 by 1 by 3, converting it into a volume, it comes out to 40 sa. So the Gemara says, okay, what just happened over here is that we learned the halachas of chatzitza from a pasuk in the Torah. How did we describe it earlier as halacha Moshe Mitzinai? So the Gemara says, ki itzrech ilchasa li se'aro. So the Gemara says, halacha Moshe Mitzinai is regarding your hair. Uch d'rava baravuna, d'amri rava baravuna, nim achas kshira chotzesis. Let's say one strand of hair, which is knotted, meaning it's tied in a knot, that is a chatzitza. There's no way the water is going to be able to penetrate into that knot. Shalosh ena chotzesis, when it comes to 3 hairs knotted together. So it is not going to be super tight because the 3 hairs are going to prevent the person from really knotting it well. So that's not a chatzitza. Shtayim ena yodea. 2, however, he says, I don't know. Meaning he just simply did not have a tradition as to whether or not 2 hairs tied together is considered a chatzitza or is not considered a chatzitza. So the Gemara right now is arguing that regarding hair, the idea of chatzitza is not based on a pasuk, but rather based on halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The Gemara says, that's not true. Saru nami da raisa. What are you talking about? It's a din da raisa. The time we learned on the raisa. Rechatzis kol besaro. Es hatafel libesaro. Vizehu seyar. So the pasuk says, es besaro. The es is a ribui. We see this time and again throughout the Gemara, that S is serving as an amplification. It comes to include something, and over here it's coming to include the hair. So we have a jerusha for the hair. So the Gemara says, you're right. Kiasa hilchasa lerubo ulemiuto. Ulemakbid ulesheino makbid. So the Gemara says, absolutely correct. In terms of the basic halachas regarding chatzitza, so it is based on pesukim, meaning we have a pasuk for your basar. We have a pasuk even for the hair based on the drasha. The halacha Moshe Mitzinai is coming to teach us a different halacha, notably the halacha of rov and makbid. Uched Rav Yitzchak d'amar Rav Yitzchak d'var Torah. So, as far as the halacha of Rav Yitzchak is concerned, he says like this, that min ha-Torah, ruba u-makbid alav chotzeitz. In order for something to serve as a barrier between the water and your body, it has to be that the barrier is covering the majority, and it has to be something where it bothers you, meaning you don't want that barrier there. However, that is a chatzitza. V'she'ino makbid alav ino chotzeitz. Now, if it's covering the majority of your body, but you are not makbid on it, that is min haTorah, not going to be a chatzitza. V'gazru al rubo she'ino makbid, mishum ruba makbid. But here the Chachamim said, look, we are just but one step removed from it being a chatzitza, meaning it's rov, but you're not makbid. But the Chachamim said, if we allow that, so then the next time it'll be rov and you'll be makbid, and you'll be violating and that would be a chatzitza min haTorah. Al mi'uto ha-makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. And the Gemara says, and the same thing is true regarding a miut, meaning it is not covering the majority, it's only covering the minority, it is only blocking a minority, but it's something that bothers you. Once again, we are one step removed from violating a chatzitza min haTorah. The Gemara says, "V'ligzor nami al miuto sheno makbid." So the Gemara says, "What about a miut where you're not makbid? Mishum miuto ha makbid." So the Gemara says, we should make a gzera on miut sheino makbid because of miut which is makbid. Inami mishum rubo sheino makbid. Or because of a rov, which is in a makbid, he goof a gzera v'ananekam v'nigzer gzera l'gzera. So the Gemara says, well, look, that's already two steps removed. Meaning, min ha-torah it's a chatzitza only when it's rov in your makbid. So if one of those were to not be the case, that would be one step removed. If both of those would not be the case, that would be two steps removed. And the Chachamim do not make a gzera in general when it is two steps removed. Okay. And so that is, all this is coming to explain now. We have just learned and identified what, in fact, is not explicitly stated in the Torah. This idea of rubo u'makbid, and this is only coming to us via halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Just one really important topic to discuss over here, which I'm going to mention briefly, and that is the opinion of Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi Divar Amaschel, Dvar Torah, Rashi writes, it's going to be the next Rashi, but anyway, Dvar Torah, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai b'tor sh'bal peh, okay, and next Rashi, Rubo. So Rashi over here says that this halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak that we just learned together, that if it is only going to be a chatzitza min haTorah when it covers the majority, and it's something in your makbid, what are we describing over here? Are we describing your entire body? What's the alternative? Well, the alternative is actually what Rashi writes. Next, Rashi Rubo, Rov Sa'aro. Rashi says that we're talking about the majority of your hair. Shim yesh bo davar chotzitz kigon dam yavesh v'diyo v'tit yavesh v'zefes yavesh o shekashor rubo achas achas. So Rashi gives numerous examples of what's in your hair right now. A lot of unpleasant things. Dried blood, ink, some sort of clay or cement, some sort of pitch. Or let's say each one of the hairs individually is knotted up. So Rashi says that this halach of Rabbi Yitzchak is only relevant to the hair. Now, what this Rashi is saying in of itself is interesting, but certainly the implication of Rashi is really important. Because Rashi is saying that this halacha of Ruba u'makpid, which is the only time that it's going to be a chatzitza min haTorah, says Rashi that's only as it relates to the hair of a person, but not as it relates to the body of a person. And that means to say that the implication of Rashi is that when you're talking about your basar, any other part of your body outside of your hair, so there it would be a chatzitza with any amount. Meaning this halacha that we're learning together is only regarding the hair, not regarding the other parts of the body. In fact, with the way we just read Rashi and the implication of Rashi, you could see it in Tosos, second to last Tosos on our daf. Dvar Torah Rubo Makbid Al Chotzis Perish Bekunshus B'Sa'aro. Rashi says it's talking about the hair. Mashma. Ava B'Sa'aro Afilu Mi'uto She'eno Makbid Chotzis. And the implication of Rashi would be is that if you had a chatzitza on any other part of the body, so then it would be a chatzitza even if it's a small amount and even if you're not Makbid. That is what Rashi seems to be saying, and Tosos already makes this observation. Is that true? Well, again, whether Rashi believes it or not is open to a discussion. Whether other Rishonim agree to that, that is clear that not all Rishonim agree to that. In fact, if you look at the Tosos that we just cited, you can see the sheet of Rabbi Natam where he does not agree. He thinks the halacha of Rubo and Makbid is both for the hair and for the body as well. Okay, so again, this is a really, really important and big discussion. I just covered the very basics. We are now continuing in the Gemara. We are halfway down on Dal Amud Beis, and we have one more halacha that we have to cover. So far this morning, we covered Shiurim. We covered Chatzitza. So what's left for us to cover? And that's going to be Mechitza. So we said that Mechitza is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and there's no pasuk in the Torah that describes the Mechitza. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Mechitza is daraisa ninu. Mechitza is ardin daraisa damar mar aron tisha v'kaparos tefach harei kan asara. So in terms of looking at the Aron is 9 tefachim high, and plus there's a lid on top, which is another tefach, that gets us to 10. And so we see over there that we have a source that teaches us the halacha that a wall, a minimum height of a wall, has to be 10 tefachim. And this we learned back in Masechta Sukkah, in terms of the minimum height of a sukkah. Anyway, so you see that the Aron is 10 tefachim, and so we're just using that now, that measurement, in order to give us a halacha regarding a wall. So the Gemara says, it's all very good. Lotzricha l'Reb Yehuda da'amar amas binyan ba'amas bashisha, ama kelim ba'amas bas chamisha. So the Gemara says, okay, but in terms of how we're measuring the kalim themselves, which amma are we using? Are we using the amma 6 tvachim? Are we using the amma 5 tvachim? This is subject to a machlokas. Now, according to Rameir, who says that all of the ammas are going to be using the standard 6 tefach amma, what are you going to say? So Rameir, kiasa hilchasa, so the Gemara says, yeah, that's true. According to Rameir, it does work out that the 10 tefachim is in fact generated from the aron. You're right about that. But there are many other halachas as it relates to wall that are not going to be seen in a pasuk in Chumash, but rather halach l'mashim sinai, notably, kiasa hilchasa legud, ulalavud, uladofen akuma, as it relates to the halachas of good. Good asik, when a wall halachically goes up. Good achis, when a wall halachically goes down. Lavud, when I have a separation between one wall and the next, but the separation is less than 3 tefachim, and we look at that as if there is no break, and we just simply say that it's a contiguous wall going across, or dofen akuma, which we just described and discussed in yesterday's daf, and that is the idea that when you have a wall, and then the wall takes a 90-degree turn, up to 4 amos, we will say that that's still considered part and parcel of the wall, that's just simply viewed as a bent wall. That's dofen akuma. These are halachas where there is no reference to them whatsoever in the Torah itself, and these are halachas that are generated from halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, and now this gives us a wonderful opportunity to stop and recap our daf today. We started today by going over Abaye's position regarding an amma. An amma, says Abaye, is somewhere in the range of 6 to 5 tefachim. And depending on which halacha we're describing and erring on the side of caution, so we're always going to go with a measurement that is going to be more cautious. And so, and when it comes to sukkah and mavui, so typically the 5 tefach is going to be the more cautious measurement. And therefore, we're going to be using the 5 tefach amma. When dealing with kalayim, kalai hakerem, so the 6 tefach amma is going to be the more cautious measurement, and therefore we're going to use that. The Gemara discussed that in much more detail because it's not always true, but nevertheless, that's the basic idea of Abaye. Rava disagrees. Rava says no. The amma is always going to be measured using a unit of 6 tefachim. Vis-a-vis a range, there is a range according to Rava, but it's really small. And that is when measuring the tefach to use to measure the amma, are we using atsevos, where it's going to be a tight fist, creating a somewhat smaller amma measurement, or are we going to be using shochakos, which are going to be slightly wider, meaning that the fingers are not going to be clenched one against the other, and it's going to create a slightly larger amma. That's the range according to Rava, but it's always going to be 6 tefachim. With the Gemara read a brisa, as we are now still on the top of the Amud Aleph of today's daf reviewing. The Gemara read a brisa, which certainly suggests that it's a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rishim and Gamliel. According to Abaye, fine, meaning Abaye says, I hold like Rishim and Gamliel, and the Tanakam does not hold in my position. That's fine. In other words, it's machlokas Tanayim. And the Gemara noted that according to Rava, you don't have to say that. Rava could say that Rishim and Gamliel is just coming to explain the Tanakama, in that it's always going to be 6 tefachim per amma. It's just a question of whether or not we're going to be using the narrower or the wider tefach in order of measuring the 6 tefachim. That's the way he read the Braisa. The Braisa seems to say that this is true only when it comes to Kalayim. That part's true, but the Braisa just simply means that in general it's always going to be 6 tefachim, and the only reason why the Braisa said the word Kalayim is only to exclude the building of the Mizbech. In the building of the Mizbech, some of the measurements for the building of the Mizbech is going to be used a 5 tefach measurement, not a 6 tefach measurement, but that's the only thing the Braisa meant to exclude. The remainder of today's daf all circulated around one idea, and that is that when it comes to Shi'urin and chatzitzin and mechitzin, these are halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and they're not based on psukim. We went through this morning number 1 shiurim, which takes us to the bottom of Dalamud Aleph, to the top of Dalamud Beis. And that is that shiurim, even though we used every one of the shivas aminim to identify a particular shiur, but that's not the source of the halacha, that's just an asmachta. The chachamim attaching the halacha Moshe Mitzinai to a pasuk in the Torah. But as far as the source of the halacha is concerned, halacha Moshe Mitzinai. 2, chatzitza. Even though we have psukim that speak to the basic idea of chatzitza, that there cannot be any separation between the water and your body as you go into the mikvah, but the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak of Ruba Umakpid, that the only time it's going to be a chatzitza is when it covers the majority of your body and it's something that is particular to you, you didn't want it there, so then under those circumstances, that's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The halacha of Ruba Umakpid, where that's a chatzitza d'oraisa, and if either one of those two were to adjust, meaning if it's Rubo, Eino Makbid, or if it's Miut, Hamakbid, so that Midrabanan is going to be a Chatzitza. If it's a Miut, She'eino Makbid, so that's not going to be a Chatzitza at all. according to Rashi, we went over this morning, that's simply going on the hair, not on the remainder of the body. The implication of Rashi, like we said earlier, is that for the rest of the body, even a miut she'eino makbin is going to be a chatzitza. Is this implication, is this what Rashi really meant? Open for discussion. And as we pointed out, Bali Atosos over here on our daf disagrees with Rashi. And finally, mechitza, is that a dinda araisa? It could be that the basic halacha, that a wall, a minimum height of a wall has to be 10 tefachim, could be that that's learned from the Aron, although that's open for a discussion and debate. But as far as the other halachas regarding walls, the Gemara cited three examples. Rashi knows there are other examples as well. But there are many other halachas that regard to wall. Good achis, good asik, dofen akuma, lavud. So these halachas are clearly halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, are not based on any psukim. We pick it up tomorrow at the two dots.